Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're turning through to Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 7. But before I read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word. We pray that you would give us understanding and insight. Help us to hear your Word truly. We pray that your Spirit would bless it to us, that we might grow in our understanding and knowledge of you and of your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 13, verse 1 to 7. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honour to whom honour is owed. Well, yesterday we talked generally about how to study the scriptures together, and today I want us to begin to wrestle with the understanding of Romans 13, verse 1 to 7. I commented yesterday that it's a passage which is just being thrown around everywhere and used from all different perspectives. It's being used by some to say we shouldn't obey the government. It's being used by some to say we must obey the government in this situation. Well, as we come to wrestle through this text, the first question we need to wrestle with is not the first word. So in the beginning it says, let every person be subject. So we will return to that and we will consider what it means to submit to the government, what it means to subject yourself to the government. But the question we need to ask before that is, what is government? How do we understand government? What does the text teach us about governing authorities, those who are in authority above us? Paul is going to teach us how to interact with them, how to relate to them. In the same way that in the previous chapter, we saw him talking about how we relate to one another and how we relate to the world that's persecuting us. So now we're considering how we relate to the government. But what is meant by the government? How do we understand the government? Or to put it a different way, from where does the government get its authority, its right, and its practice? From where does the government get its authority, right, and practice? Paul says several things about the government in this passage. Have a look at verse 1 with me. He says, there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Then in the second half of, midway through verse 2, it says, what God has appointed, speaking about the authorities. In verse 3, it says, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. In verse 4, it says, he is God's servant. And then that gets repeated over and over again, the end of verse 4, for he is the servant of God. And then in verse 5, they're also called ministers of God. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God. So they're described as being ministers of God, servants of God, appointed by God, and instituted by God, and they get their authority from God. So it's quite a broad statement to make about the government. So the government gets everything it has from God. What does that mean? What does it mean for Paul to say that the government has its authority from God and exists and as an institution by God? What does that mean? Well, what it means is that the authority of the government does not reside in itself. Governments cannot be self-appointed. Now, I know from a humanistic standpoint they can. There's many governments that self-appoint themselves. There's many regimes that self-appoint themselves. But the institutional idea of government does not create itself any more than the institution, if you want to call it that, the institution of ministers of the gospel do not institute themselves. I'm not a minister of the gospel because I have decided that I am a minister of the gospel. Parents do not derive their own authority. Governments do not derive their own authority. Elders in the church do not derive their own authority. Their authority doesn't come to them because they are who they are. Jacinda Ardern, our Prime Minister, is not the authority because she is the Prime Minister. She is the authority because God has appointed her the authority. Now, why is that a really important distinction to make? It's a very important distinction to make because it shows that they are not the ultimate authority or power and that they are not free to do whatever they want. Let me paint it in a different way for you. Let's think about it if it was the other way around. Let's hypothetically imagine for a second that the authority of the government derived came from itself on the basis that it is the government. Well, that would mean there's no higher form of authority than the government, which means whatever the government says is true and right. Now, think about the implication of that. If that was true, if authority resided in the government, then you could not critique what Hitler did. Why? Because he's the ultimate authority. Because the Nazi Party was the ultimate authority, or Stalin, or any other dictator. Or, to bring it closer to home, when our government says that euthanasia is okay and murdering millions of babies in the world every year is okay, you could not disagree. You may disagree from a moral standpoint and say that's not good, but from an authority standpoint, you cannot say they're wrong because they are practicing their own derived power. But that is not how the scriptures explain how the government works. No, the government, God says in his word, the government gets its authority from God himself. That means that the government is under the authority of God. Now, to some of you, you're going to say that's obvious, Logan, but it's really important for us to state that and to hold on to that truth, that they are not an authority of themselves. They are there to serve as servants and ministers of God. So they are subservient to God. Let me give you a picture to help you think about it a different way. If you're a parent, your children get to that age when they're able to stay home by themselves and you and your wife or you and your husband want to go out for lunch together. And you've got the eldest child. And when you leave, you say to the eldest child, these are the ground rules. You say to all of them, but you especially pass some level of authority to the eldest child and you say to them, no misusing the computer and don't open the door no matter who knocks on it. And you set a bunch of ground rules. What you've done is given authority to the eldest child, or maybe to a babysitter. You've given authority to that eldest child and you've told them to practice that authority while you're not there. But they do not have authority derived in and of themselves, do they? No, they can only do according to that which you have stated and that which you have set the rules for. And that's how we must think about the government. The government is in the world to serve God for the image bearers of God to maintain good and punish evil. And we're going to unpack more of that practical outworking later on. But we must lay hold of the truth that the government is not its own authority. And so what that means, when you hear the government speaking, you must listen with discerning ears, because they're not their own authority. I know they like to act like they are. I know they love to change rules and do whatever seems best for them. And whether you agree with them or not, you must remember that they are not an authority in and of themselves, but they are subservient. They're servants. They're ministers. If you think about it from a church perspective, this makes complete sense. When I stand before the church as a minister of the gospel, I don't stand there under my own authority, do I? And the elders may make decisions, and they may lead a church in a certain direction, but they don't do it under their own authority, do they? They do it under the authority of Christ. And we see this in the family, don't we? As a parent, I have authority over my children, but that authority does not come from me. It comes from God. Why does that matter? Now let's work in reverse. Start with the family. Well, if my authority as a dad comes from me, what happens when my child is big enough to disagree with me? To what ultimate authority can I appeal that my son must obey me? Well, if the authority is just me, there is no higher authority. And he might disagree with me, and there's nothing to appeal to. And so, likewise, in the church, if the elders of the church are the ultimate authority and they derive authority from themselves, they can do whatever they want, people can't disagree with them, but they can walk out, and there's no authority to appeal to. And the same in the government. If you disagree with the massacring of Jews or the murdering of infants or anything else, if the government is the ultimate authority, they're right in what they are doing because they're practicing their free authority. But if all of those institutions, family, church, government, are under the authority of God, they're not there to practice and do what they believe is best, are they? No, they are there to govern on behalf of God. And that's a fundamental point we must have in our head as we think about government. The government is not there to do as it pleases. The government is there to govern on behalf of God. And one day our governments will answer to God for how they have governed the people of this world. Every government, every leader, it's just like in the church, it's just like in the home. Every leader must answer to God because they have got their authority from God and their servants to God and their ministers on behalf of God. Now, what's the practical implication of that for our government? Since our government gets their authority from God, serves on behalf of God, what does that practically mean for them? It means they are not free to define themselves. They are not free to rule how they wish. They are not free to do as they please. But rather, it is expected of them to define themselves in accordance with God's authority and God's ways, to govern the world and God's people, humanity, to govern humanity in accordance with God's principle, because they're God's representatives. And so one writer, reformer, Pierre Verret, French reformer, he would say it actually, at the end of the day, makes no difference what form of government you have, whether you have a monarchy or a democracy or a dictator, makes no difference, providing the governing authorities submit themselves to God's moral law. You can have any form of government in the world. If they submit themselves to God's moral law, the society will flourish. But when they reject God's moral law, the countries decay, and aren't we seeing that? our countries have thrown out God's moral law, and they rule not in accordance with God's law, not in accordance with the law that's been given them to govern God's creation and God's humanity. They govern by their own created laws. So they are rebelling against God. They are not governing as God would have them govern. Now, what impact does that have for you and I? Well, we will unpack more when we get to submission and we try and think about that and wrestle through that. But just consider, if you know, if I know, if we know, or rather, since we know that they are responsible for before God to administer according to God's ways, and they're not doing it, that means they are liable to the wrath and judgment of God. What would be the most loving thing for us to do? The most loving thing for us to do would be to warn them and to tell them and to call them to account and to say to them, you are a minister of God and God calls you to rule in accordance with his word, in accordance with his law, because you don't have your own authority. Your authority does not come from the fact that New Zealanders voted for you. Your authority comes from God. So rule in accordance with his word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this reminder that the government above us is subservient to you and that you are the king of the universe. And we pray that you would help us to understand these things and to act in a way in our nation that suits and fits that well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow afternoon.